This is New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Honored to be joined on the program right now by our senior U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen. Senator Shaheen, how are you?
Good morning, Chris.
Appreciate you joining us for the show. And I want to start off with just your timeline and also thought process during the events that transpired at the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, where you were when you first became aware of what was taking place, what you were thinking, and how things unraveled from there.
Well, I'm sure people have seen a lot of this on television as they've watched the timeline of what happened, but the Senate was in session. We were debating on the floor the first objection to the vote tally, and all of a sudden Capitol Police came in very quickly, rushed out Vice President Pence, and there were a few seconds of confusion, and then they said, ask all of us to stay in our seats to be quiet while they locked down the Senate chamber. So we waited there probably, 10 to 15 minutes, and then we were moved down the stairs, not using elevators, through the tunnels to a more secure location away from the protesters. And, you know, on our way down the stairs, there is one set of stairs on the Senate side that goes from the first floor to the basement, and it's by the committee room that's used for the Foreign Relations Committee. So I spend a lot of time in that room, and I'm used to that route. And it was chilling to look out the windows and to see the protesters scaling the Capitol, trying to get in to break windows. I'm sure most of your listeners have seen that footage on television. And then to go through the Capitol and see the damage that was done afterwards was so horrifying in terms of our democracy. It's the first time since the War of 1812 that violent people who would like to take down the government had gone into the Capitol. And so it was very serious. Five people have died as the result of what happened last Wednesday. Two police officers, one who tragically took his own life and one who was beaten by the protesters. And then there was a protester who was shot trying to breach the House chamber. And then, of course, there were several people who died of natural causes, but who probably would not have died if they were not in that violent mob.
Initially, you know, the focus was on a lot of the clownish type of individuals who, you know, wore different costumes and were smiling and waving for the cameras and things of that nature. But as, you know, the days have worn on, we have focused more on, you know, the individuals who were ex-military, some former police officers, some current law enforcement figures who were arrested, some carrying zip ties, and some of the motivations that individuals had, whether it was in regards to capturing the vice president, individuals, U.S. senators like yourself, or what, and trying to figure out exactly what those individuals were doing there. So was there any point in time where you were fearful for your life or for your safety in this environment? And what have been your takeaways from, you know, the aftermath of kind of debriefing and decompressing and figuring out what could have happened and who bears responsibility?
Well, it happened so fast, Chris. It was hard to be frightened. We were just trying to do what we were asked to do by the Capitol Police. And it wasn't until we got to the more secure location and we were able to turn on the television and see what was happening in the Capitol that we realized the enormity of what was taking place and the threats of violence. And we saw, of course, in the aftermath, the people who were killed and the number of people who had guns and the threats that were being made against the vice president, against members of Congress. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of our democracy and any democracy is that if you don't like the government, if you're concerned about what's happening, you take those concerns to the ballot box. And what we had last Wednesday was a deliberate attempt led by the President of the United States to try and march on Congress to prevent the final counting of the ballots from the elector ballots from the 2020 election. And that is unheard of in our democracy. And we need to hold the people who are responsible accountable. There were a number of white supremacist groups who were part of this effort, domestic terrorists who were part of leading this effort, and I appreciate that there were some people who just went to peacefully protest, but it speaks to the need to get more information before getting involved in something like that, because clearly it was designed to try and storm the Capitol, to do violence to members of Congress, to the vice president. And it was a coup, an attempted coup against our government. And there need to be serious consequences for that. The people who were leading it, the people who were involved, who were perpetrating illegal activities, need to be held accountable. And the president of the United States needs to be held accountable.
Yeah, the next obvious question is how should the president be held accountable? But before we get to that, you know, I think that any individual that entered the U.S. Capitol on that day is not a peaceful protester. If you breached the U.S. Capitol and went in, I mean, we've seen individuals literally crying at airports because they've been put on no-fly lists, saying that they're not terrorists. Well, if you entered the U.S. Capitol unlawfully on that day, in my view, you're not a peaceful protester. You've made a decision that you were going to enter a place in which you were not allowed and were part of a group that, you know, sieged the U.S. Capitol. And I'm sorry, that's the circumstance. What are your thoughts on that, A, and B, the President of the United States at the rally said many things, but included in that were, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. And with the anxiety in this nation the way that it is, if any leader says that of any group and you have admiration for that figure, and many who have been arrested have said that they saw this as a call to arms. And I don't know how, if you hear your leader, a person that you you believe in, say something like that, how that is not motivation to do what individuals did.
Well, clearly the president incited what happened on Wednesday. But it also speaks to the need for each of us as citizens to be responsible for our own actions and to get the truth. I mean, one of the reasons this has been such an issue is because the president and those who have enabled him, many of his supporters in the House and Senate, have refused to acknowledge that the election on November 3rd was free and fair, there was not widespread corruption, and Donald Trump lost. You know, Joe Biden got over 80 million votes. Donald Trump got over 74 million. He lost by over 7 million votes. And the people who have refused to acknowledge that may be misled. There are some media announcers who bear responsibility for what happened as well, and some media outlets for not being honest about what was going on. But we saw the election certified by Republican and Democratic officials across the country who said this was a free and fair election. There is no evidence. The Trump administration, none of his supporters have presented any credible evidence of any widespread voter fraud. And those people who have enabled the president, members of Congress, members of the Senate, who have refused to tell people the truth, who have continued this big lie that the election was not free and not fair, that it was corrupt, should be held accountable as well.
So how, in your view, should Donald Trump specifically be held accountable? There's obviously the impeachment side of things and the potential for conviction in the U.S. Senate and a timeline in regards to that. What are your thoughts on that end and also on the legal side of things? And could he be held legally responsible for the deaths and for the destruction that took place?
Well, I've already voted to impeach Donald Trump. I think he should leave office. He should have left office a long time ago, but he certainly should leave now. I think there are efforts to explore not just the impeachment, and the House may hold on to those articles if they vote them out and wait to send them to the Senate, since Mitch McConnell, who is still the majority leader, has said he will not take them up before the 19th. But there are also some other things that are being looked at. It's unfortunate that the vice president, especially given what happened last Wednesday has been unwilling to look at invoking the 25th Amendment with members of the cabinet, because clearly the president violated his oath of office. You know, all of us, and including the president, take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Our Constitution calls for elections and the transfer of power to be done peacefully through voting. And the president has refused to acknowledge that. So he needs to go. And there are some other things that I think are being looked at to try and hold him accountable, to take away his benefits as a former president, so that the taxpayers are no longer paying him a pension and paying for him to do whatever he wants to do when he gets out of office. I think that's one way to sanction the president for what he did. We're already seeing the private sector take action against what happened, and I think that's appropriate. We all need to look at how we can support the Constitution and what our democracy stands for.
Senator, seven of your Democratic Senate colleagues have called for some sort of consequence for Senators Hawley and Cruz, who kind of fanned the flame. Senator Cruz's office, I don't know, intentionally or unintentionally, sent out a fundraising text in the middle of the insurrection. The punishments being called for range from asking them to resign to expulsion from the Senate. Do you support any of those consequences for Senators Cruz and or Hawley?
I think they should be sanctioned, absolutely. They contributed to what happened last Wednesday. They're getting a lot of pressure in their home states. I think that's appropriate. And beyond that, I probably shouldn't say much more, because I'm a member of the Ethics Committee, and there is an expectation that these complaints will come before the Ethics Committee. But I was clear before last Wednesday that I thought what they were doing, what the others who were objecting to the election results were doing, was bordered on sedition and treason, yep. And I continue to believe that.
Yes, you were on the record saying that. I remember that clearly. In conclusion, where do we go from here as a country, as more violence is, I would say, expected at this point in time? The FBI clear about that, and it could happen in Concord with armed rallies taking place in addition to Washington, D.C. and the other 49 capitals. Where do we go as a nation where we see so much division, individuals who have fanned the flames of this division? Where do we go?
Well, first of all, we need to hold those people accountable. We're in the process of doing that. This is a nation of laws. If you break the law, you need to be held accountable. And so that needs to happen. And we need to really further investigate domestic terrorism, because this is really what's going on. These are domestic terrorists that are inciting other people to join them and overthrowing the government. But beyond that, we need to address divisions in the country. Joe Biden has said that that's one of his first priorities as president. And we need to address the very real concerns that people are feeling. The coronavirus, we've got to get this pandemic under control. We've got to get vaccines distributed so that people can be protected. We've got to provide help to people who are losing their apartments, their homes, who can't put food on the table for their kids. I was pleased to be part of a bipartisan group. Eight of us, after the election last November, got together and said, four Democrats, four Republicans, and said, we've got to do something. People need help. And I believe we helped to push the leadership and the White House to get an agreement to provide additional help for people. It's short-term help, and we've got to come back and provide additional help. But we need to make sure that people can continue to collect unemployment, that small businesses can keep from going under over the next few months, that, you know, our restaurants and our entertainment venues are able to get help so they can open when we get through this pandemic. We need help for our schools. We've got to get our kids back in school. And we provided significant help for schools, but we need more. I supported that $2,000 payment when the president came out and said he thought we should do that. It was disappointing to me that Mitch McConnell was unwilling to take that up. So we've got to look at the ways in which we can help people get back to normal, because that's also contributing to the frustration that people are feeling, the isolation, the fear of being infected by the coronavirus, the loss that so many families have experienced, and New Hampshire is not immune to that.
Yeah, Senator Shaheen, I think you're 100% right. I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors that led to what took place there and what took place in many streets across this country throughout the course of the summer. And we need to do a deep dive and figure out why. Why have these things taken place? And not just look at it from, you know, the surface level, but why are individuals in a place where they are, where they would take up arms against their country and siege the Capitol, and to figure out, you know, where we are as a nation. And I appreciate your sentiment in regards to that. And thanks for joining us for the show.
Always nice to be with you. And hopefully we will see a peaceful inauguration next week and an ability to address the many concerns that people are facing. We've got a lot to do. We need to get back to work in Congress with the new administration and address these concerns that people have.
U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen on New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Ryan. We shall return with more after this.